wherever we go,
with Jeremy Scott.
Inspectors are still examining the hydrogen fuel line that sprung a leak before last week's launch attempt, but managers say they are confident the leak can be fixed.
This is a very complicated machine, a very complicated system, and all those things have to work. And you don't want to light the candle until it's ready to go.
There is a catch. The rocket must pass a tanking test first before it gets the final green light to take off.
Looks like Artemis may or may not take off next week. That will be determined whether or not those technicians can get the thing off the ground. Good evening and welcome into the Paranormal. I'm Jeremy Scott. My guest tonight on the program is Leonard David. He's a space journalist. He's been reporting on space activities for over 50 years. He's written the book that was actually published in 2019, but well ahead of its time, Moon Rush, The New Space Race. It was published by National Geographic, and it talks about exploring the moon in all of its facets. And in the current situation that we stand here, there is a lot on the line. We have a space race underway between not only the United States, but several other players. Leonard, welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I love to be on your show. I appreciate the attention.
What's going on with Artemis and the whole mission right now? It kind of has gotten off to a rocky start, pun intended.
Yeah, you know, I'm okay. I'll admit right up front, I'm 75, and I went through the Apollo program and Mercury, Gemini, Apollo, and you know. Leaks on the pad, you know, this happens. And, I'm with Bill Nelson, the NASA administrator. You know, we can't launch until you're ready to go. And so, we're at a point where, there's a lot riding on this Artemis, mission, first mission. And, we'll see how well this booster does. It's going to be an incredible flight if it's successful, and you know. But you got to be aware that failure is right in front of you at all times. And what would that do to America's lunar program if that thing fails the first go?
Certainly, we don't want a space travesty, and I guess the way to get this corrected is when there's no humans' lives at stake.
Right. You know, we don't have any people on there, but they're, you know, gunning to put on the Artemis 2 mission, you know, a couple people and send them out for quite a four-person crew and loop around the moon in 2024. They have their agenda, including the Artemis 3, which is, you know, the kind of a corny, you know, I'm not a big fan of this thing of delegating these crews, but, you know, the first person of color and the first woman on the moon, you know, for Artemis 3 in 2025. Let's just get going. I don't care who's going. Let's get going.
You think we need to get back to the moon, and we need to get back to the moon now?
Yeah, I'm a big supporter of the moon first before human missions to Mars. You can't get back to the moon if you can't do that. Getting to Mars seems a little bit problematical. So I think there is a lot of new technology that's going to come out of surviving and thriving on the moon that will enable Mars mission. So I'm a big thanks for your little comment about my Moon Rush book, because when I wrote that, I had some people, it's not a space race. Don't say that. Don't do that. It's a space race.
Yeah.
China is coming on strong. Other countries are major players now, and this is not a NASA go to the moon and, you know, we're down there. Things are going on here that are really diplomatically and politically fireworks.
And this is not only something that NASA's participating, but also the European Space Agency, Japan, and also Canada have skin in the game here too, right, with Artemis.
Yeah, it's an international undertaking. That's a good thing. The more countries, the better. Because, you know, at some point in all this, you know, the rhetoric gets ahead of failure. Because, you know, the artwork of people walking around the moon and doing all kinds of great things is artwork. And we're going to have to do that technically, and there will be failure. There will be people dead, on the moon at some point. And I don't know what country they're going to come from. It's dangerous stuff. But, you know, it's just part of, if you're a space cadet like I am, it's part of the process. Unfortunately, some of that is loss of life and also success of life to survive and thrive on another world to make us a multi-planet species like Elon Musk always talks about.
Why is there so much at stake here?
Well, you know, again, you know, I'm getting old here, but I mean, it's sort of a resurgence of space exploration. And the point is that I think America is finding its space legs again. We're going beyond low Earth orbit. We've been in the low Earth orbit for quite a while. We have an incredible international space station with multiple countries, getting back to your point that this is a Canadian and Japanese, Russian, and all the other countries, 13 or so countries in the space station. So, you know, we almost have done a due diligence in low Earth orbit. Let's move on. Deep space is calling us, and we can do it. And it's going to be dangerous. It's going to be boating, and it's going to be a new historical capability that we'll have as a species. And it's not just U.S. It's going to be China, Russia, a lot of other countries. So we're moving forward. I'm kind of pleased with that. As a kid, watching the space program evolve over the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s, you know, my God, you know, we're back to some really cool things. This is amazing time to be alive to see what other countries are going to be doing in space.
So as these repairs continue on the hydrogen fuel leaks there at the Kennedy Space Center, they're eyeing a window, I believe, coming up on September 27th. That window is shorter by about 20 minutes, I believe. Actually, it may be even shorter than that. It may be like close to an hour shorter, the window in which to launch, 11:37 a.m. Eastern time on Tuesday the 27th. Does that change things at all?
Well, not really. I mean, you know, something will happen. You know, my guess is, I'm just making it up, will they make September 27th? I don't know. Probably slide in October. I don't care. When you're breathing heavy about space, minutes are they're important. But, you know, it's getting the vehicle off the ground.
Logistically, they've got to do it by the end of September, because otherwise there's a SpaceX Falcon rocket that is coming right behind it that wants to launch and actually take astronauts from NASA, one from Japan, and a Russian cosmonaut to the International Space Station. And that's scheduled to depart on October 3rd. So they're out there on the launch pad trying to do their repairs. They may have to take it off the launch pad. And that's going to really complicate things from how I understand it.
Yeah, you're right. Once they roll that SLS back to the launch pad, back to the VAB, the then we were into another thing. I would say, though, my guess is that NASA has priority on that launch area, and you know, SpaceX is not going to be, you know, driving the train. They may have to delay if the SLS is ready to go. But you know, at the end of the day, this is like the carnival of times that, again, I lived through in the Apollo program. You had a lot of things going on for the first time, and SLS is the first time booster. I will say one of the things about SpaceX that is starting to bother me a lot, and I'm going to get a lot of enemies here. We got to be a little careful about being too, bowing to the SpaceX group. Elon, who I know, and I've one of my early interviews with him, incredible guy, and I wish him all the luck on this, but there's a Pied Piper problem here. People are doing so much genuflecting about Elon Musk and the SpaceX Starship, and let's have everything work great. I want Starship to work. I want SLS to work. We'll sort it out. You know, NASA will pick and choose, you know, what it wants to do. Elon's getting money out of NASA for Starship, for his lunar lander capability. And we'll see how it all farms out. It's great. You want multiple choice options in the future. And let's have them all. A lot of private groups are really gunning to get back to the moon, and NASA has spent a lot of money on the commercial CLPS program, commercial program to put payloads on the moon. So, you know, it's the best of times. It's a great time to watch what's going to unfold here, and there will be failure. Like Jeff Bezos just suffered 2 days ago or whatever it was.
And yeah, they sputtered.
Yeah.
And luckily there wasn't anybody on board there. I'm glad you bring that up as well. I'm talking with space journalist Leonard David, author of Moon Rush, The New Space Race. Now, this Artemis mission, the goal here is to establish a base camp up on the lunar surface. I'm wondering how many trips it might take in order to do that. And it can't just be NASA and the other countries. SpaceX has to be involved in that just due to logistics, right, to get all that stuff up there?
Going now with the NASA plan, but I mean, China has its own plan. One of the things that's going on that's pretty exciting, actually, everybody wants to go to the South Pole of the Moon. Turns out there's not too many places where you want to be. There are places where you want to be, and everybody is looking at those areas. So it's going to be an encampment on multi-nation capabilities to get to that South Pole area, because one, you're in Earth communications better. Two, the water ice situation in the craters that are totally darkened on the moon may be the place where you want to draw out propellant, liquid oxygen, you want to, you know, rocket fuel and all these others, but nobody knows. That's the point. And this is the trick question. What's down in those craters? And we're going to go find out. There'll be multiple landers. Russia is trying to get down there as well. So, you know, it's going to be I think it's going to be a little crowded in a very little area on the moon, and we'll see how the space lawyers handle this one. You know you're in trouble when the space lawyers are there already.
Is there such a thing?
Space lawyers?
Yeah, because I've always wondered who owns the domain.
Well, that's it. Yeah, I know. I think we're
you were being a little bit sarcastic there, weren't you, Leonard? That's okay.
Not really. No, we're in trouble. I think we're going to have a head-on collision with space law about who owns what part of the moon, who can do mining in certain areas where the water ice may be more favorable. We'll see how this plays out. The UN's getting involved. It's going to be a real free-for-all. In Moon Rush, the National Geographic book, I kind of threw a flag out there and said, we got problems here. Better pay attention. The lawyers are in there with their hooks. And they're not just American lawyers. We're talking Russian, Chinese lawyers. And we're going to find out what private enterprise on the moon really looks like at the end of the day.
The current situation up at the International Space Station seems less in doubt than it did earlier this year. Russia's been claiming to walk away for years. Of course, that space station is designed to have all of those partners working together. And then they kind of backtracked and said, no, that's not actually what we meant. Of course, the U.S. since then has passed funding through Congress for 2030, but it requires, you know, everybody else signing on. Is the space station going to go past 2030?
Well, that's what they're saying. That's NASA's view, and it's a White House kind of indication. Russia seems to be moving forward on their own design of a new space station. And one of the big news items is really China. They're up there now and they're gluing together their own space station. They're going to do their second spacewalk here in the next coming up and start enlarging the facility and getting ready to enlarge it. So it's a little bit with when you think about China, Russia, U.S., and then you have the private sector space stations. Blue Origin wants one. We got a bunch of other, Sierra Nevada's got a concept. Everybody, there's a lot of private sector stuff going on. And so it's almost like, who's going to have the first satellite up there? Well, now we got all these multiple space stations are going to be up there. And that I think at the end of the day, that's a good thing because interchanging between crews, between stations, if they can do changes in orbit and all this other stuff. But, the more space stations, the better.
If Russia's going to build their own and leave the International Space Station, what is the U.S. and Japan and Europe and Canada and all those other players going to do? Are they can't stay on the International Space Station? Are we going to build another one?
Well, I think NASA's trying to transition to the private sector space station, and I would caution. One thing that I'm really angry about is whether or not you bring the International Space Station into a deorbit situation and burn that thing up. And when I say burn up, it doesn't burn up. It's going to fall into a select part of the ocean that they've already selected. And I'm not sure we shouldn't keep that thing up for a Smithsonian Museum visitor attraction. That some private sector spacecraft can take you to and say, here's the old International Space Station to your right, there it is, it worked from this and that and it did all this stuff, and that's a good it's sort of like a TWA 2001 thing where you fly by and you go, okay, there's the old space station. And I'm not a big fan of bringing stuff into the Earth's atmosphere and burning things up. We got a lot of issues there. I really don't want to. I know you don't have enough time for that, but that's an issue for me. I'm spending a lot more time on debris coming in from Earth orbit. I don't want to see that space station burn up.
A very interesting thing happening actually tonight, as we speak, Leonard, here is the moon eclipsing Uranus. They're saying this is a pretty rare event called an occultation. What do you? It's an interesting word because it jumps out at me that there could be some tie-in with the occult. I don't know if there is, but what do you know about this event? It's apparently going to be seen over Africa and Asia and Europe as the moon passes in front of Uranus.
Well, I think occultations happen all the time. I think I just missed a occultation of something with the moon the other night, and I didn't have time to go out and look at it. But we have occultations all the time. My wife occultates me all the time, and and we won't talk about that.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sparing us from that. Who besides the U.S. who's ahead? Is it Russia?
Well, I think you gotta admit there's a space race, first of all, and I think there is one, diplomatically and politically and financially and on a global scale. How a country that has a very vibrant space program is looked upon by other countries. That's how I remember in 1957 with the Soviet Union and the United States. It was a really aggressive time in a space race. And I think we're there. I think China is taking the lead. There's no doubt in my mind. Russia is faltering. They're trying to get their moon, even a moon exploration program back in gear. They got lots of problems, not only with the Ukraine war and all the other things that they're engaged in right now, but China has the wherewithal and the gumption and the diplomatic movement forward that I think they're going to be the country that is the space race. I mean, they're going to be doing things. They want to go put humans on the moon. They want to do a Mars sample return. They have already demonstrated an amazing plethora of capability that looks to me like they are on a track that is will be the thing to watch.
This probe, the Capstone mission. This thing that the probe that NASA is deploying, that thing had some issues as well recently. Yeah. It actually had to go into safe mode, from what I understand, about a week ago or so.
Yeah. It's you know, I'm here in Colorado, and there's a group, Advanced Space, that is controlling that as one of the controllers. And it's a tumbling. Whether it is going to be moved out of safe mode. The main thing about that thing is not the safe mode so much as what the mission was or is. My guess is they're going to fix it. But on the other hand, it's supposed to be a spacecraft. It's a CubeSat. It's a very small spacecraft, not that much money, going out to a halo orbit around the moon that is mimicking where NASA wants to put the outpost, you know, the kind of the gateway spacecraft that will be part of the Artemis program. So, they've really worked hard on it. And to me, it sounds like it's going to be fixable. I don't even know what happened. Things are happening like hourly with that, trying to put it in safe mode, and take it out. So it is tumbling is the last word I go with you. It's got a problem. So we'll see.
Yeah, communications are interrupted from what I understand as well.
Yeah, yeah. You got problems there, and we'll see. But the Deep Space Network run by Jet Propulsion Lab is, they've gone through hell and high water on these.
I mean, this thing is only about the size of a microwave oven. It's not that big.
No, it's a small, again, that's one of the, frankly, that's one of the attributes about going out exploring now. These spacecraft are getting very, very compact, microelectronics, new propulsion capability. And we're learning more as we go here. Now, I hope that Capstone is not going to be a lesson learned kind of spacecraft, but who knows? But there are other spacecraft. South Korea's got a spacecraft en route to look at the moon. The moon is going to be in our face big time. There are multiple spacecraft being launched, not only to orbit, land on it, and really do some pretty amazing things here in the next year and a half, 2 years, prior to the Artemis astronauts getting there. And then you have the big deal with rovers and all these other things that people want to put on the moon. So the moon is really in front of us. It's 240,000 miles away. It ain't that far away.
Okay, Leonard, has China found material from the lunar surface? They claim to have found a crystal lurking inside samples that was collected from the moon in 2020. That would make them the third country to have discovered lunar material. What do you know?
That's what they claim. And people I've talked to even today say they're on the track. And they found some, they had what they call a Chang'e 5 return sample mission that brought a lot of material back from the moon direct to Earth. Hadn't been done since the Soviet Union did it in 1976.
Yeah.
So China, again, this kind of puts them into a pedestal position. And they believe they're diving into all the material they brought back from that lunar samples. And they're finding all kinds of things. They found more water. They're just deciphering what the material that they got back. And they're making papers everywhere. I just saw a new one. 2 days ago, they're claiming they got some water samples back. And so, they're making great strides there.
Water samples on the moon? These were a new discovery?
Yeah, helium-3 and some other material. You bring this stuff back, and you're thinking China, do they have the equipment to do it? Yes. They've got a really good lunar lab, like at Johnson Space Center, analyzing the Apollo samples. And so they're really diving in there, and they're coming up with all kinds of really interesting papers. And looks like they're all peer-reviewed, and they're making great strides about what the lunar surface is going to offer us, not only now scientifically, but in the future, to use the lunar landscape to do 3D printing, to make things, to sustain human life on the moon. So they're making great strides, and watch that show. It's big. We don't understand it very much, but I'm telling you, they're closing the loop on a lot of stuff. They're the story.
And China also planning, they have recently announced to send their own unmanned missions to the moon over the next 10 years. So it sounds like the U.S. Will beat China there, because it looks like our first crewed mission, as in C-R-E-W-E-D, crewed mission, not C-R-U-D-E, as early as 2025, right?
Yeah, but I think, it's not so much I guess you got to look at it a little bit differently. Robotically, you know, landing Chang'e 6, which is to be launched, and 7, 8, China's trying to build up to what they call a research space facility or a research station on the moon. And so they're angling, and I would not be surprised if they don't move up their target times compared to what NASA wants to do. And NASA, you know, if let's say the space launch system blows up. Let's say the whole rocket just disappears.
God forbid.
Well, it can happen.
It can. You know, absolutely.
Things can happen. And where does that put America? We are in a space race. If we think the moon is an important element of a space ecosystem of economy, we are in a space race. I don't have any qualms about it. And I get hate mail from people that, oh, it's not. No, we're there. This is a diplomatic thing. It's a global, view. When China gets back to the moon and does a lot of new and interesting things, it's a scientific coup, and we'll get there. U.S. I don't have any doubt. The U.S. The Jet Propulsion Lab and all the other private sector groups get going, and India and some other nations. The moon is going to be a big thing in our future. It's there. And we've been there. Mm-hmm. Haven't done all that.
Sounds like the time's a ticking, and we really can't afford to make a mistake then.
Well, there will be mistakes. And I think, and China can have loss of crew, loss of spacecraft. It's going to be technically... for every country that tries to get to the moon and land and do some scientific exploration, it's always up for grabs. And you'd love to have grab samples from the moon, but you can also lose your spacecraft and never get anything.
Leonard, a pleasure having you on the program yet again tonight. Always a good conversation.
Right. Kind of rambling there, but it was, I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. A very enlightening conversation. There's lots going on the moon. All you have to do is open up a Google browser and type in the moon, and you'll find all sorts of stuff, Leonard.
Make sure you read my Moon Rush book. I'm proud of it.
Absolutely. We've got it linked up at ParanormalRadio.com. This is episode 515. So look for Leonard David's book link there, and also to his website, LeonardDavid.com. Best to you.
Thanks. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely, friends. This is going to do it for the week. We're going to take tomorrow night off. It's a rare exception that we're going to take a weeknight off, but we're going to take a weeknight off because there's some things happening. From the cold, dark depths, somewhere deep in the remote Pacific Northwest, I'm Jeremy Scott. Good night, everyone.